We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. 'Cause Krista knows
blank. Well, hi everybody, thanks for listening. We're still doing the show, and today it's a good one, because I'm going to be talking about movies with a comedian named Jarrett Berenstein. But before we get to that, thanks for listening. Please take a second to like, subscribe, and follow this podcast so you'll get updates when there's new episodes. I'm Kristen Key. I'm the host of this wacky mess. You can find me online at kristenkey.com. Follow me on all my social media. I put out a lot of videos, funny stuff, couple of podcasts. So let's be friends. Now, this week, my guest is a hilarious comedian. He's the host of one of my favorite podcasts on the internet called Is This Anything, where comedians work on their bits. Hey, computer lady, play that interview with Jarrett Berenstein.
Playing interview with Jarrett Berenstein.
Thank you for coming on the show today.
I am so excited to be doing the show.
Oh my God. I when you told me your topic, I haven't had a guest on talk about movies yet, but what qualifies you as a movie expert?
Well, that was the thing that was tripping me up about this question, was that I have been embarrassed enough times in my life when I think I have enough knowledge to qualify as an expert that I wasn't willing to put my neck out for anything. I was like, I'm not going to say I'm a cooking expert. I'm not going to say I'm a politics expert. I'm not going to say I'm a movies expert, because I know that there are like wide breadths of those topics that I know nothing about. But I see a ton of movies. I love movies. I've always watched a lot of movies. When I was growing up, I would record old movies off of Turner Classic Movies and AMC. Okay. And me and my friends would see everything. I remember this one summer where I saw, I think, everything. And for a long time, it was because I just did not care. I didn't think that there was such a thing as a bad movie. I was just like, I'll just go see anything. I don't care. I get a little obsessed with random movie quotes. They're just things that stick in my brain for no reason. In the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick, there is a scene at the very end where the computer is going haywire and is going to launch the nukes against Russia. And there's a scientist that picks up the phone and is like, the computer is still trying to launch the nukes. And then there's a pause. And the guy goes, I tried that already. Don't you think I tried that already? And I don't know why, but it's in there. It's in there. And every time I rewatch that movie, I'm like, I can call it out like Babe Ruth.
I've got a line from Back to the Future that's not the quotable line. It's when Marty hooks up the video camera to the old timey TV and he's Doc Brown keeps rewinding. And it's like, oh my God, they found us. I don't know how, but they found us. Run for it, Marty. Oh my God, they found us. I don't know. And it just gets stuck in my head. So every time it comes on, I'm like, that's it. Yep. That's my line.
There it is.
That's funny that you have the not the quotable line, just the Ooh. Obscure. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of sight. There's a moment where Don Cheadle just goes, whoops, like that. I've been doing that my whole relationship with my fiance. When we watched it a couple nights ago, she called it out. She was like, whoops.
There's in Ready Player One and again in one of the Avengers. Oh, it's Age of Ultron. The bad guy goes, no, 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 no. I love it when a bad guy goes, no, 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 no. And the bad guy in Ready Player One does it at one point, and James Spader as Ultron does it at one point. And now I'm kind of collecting. I'm like,
no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no. It's like, oh yeah, that's great.
Last one. This is a little less obscure because we already did talk about Neverending Story, but I've said this to enough people who didn't get it that it makes me think it might be obscure. And tangent. Goonies is a great movie for this. Also, just like random ass movie quotes, Slick Shoes You Crazy, etc. So, Neverending Story. They look like big, strong hands, don't they?
The Rock Giant.
And people are like, what are you doing? And I'm like, Neverending Story? And they're like, that's not a Neverending Story. Or I don't remember that from the Neverending Story.
Yeah. 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 Oh, God.
I tried to hold on to them, but the nothing took them.
Sometimes my brother on the phone, when we're just talking out of nowhere, will just go, Artex, you're sinking! I'm like, okay. No context, nothing. So just to get a feel for like what kind of movies you are super into or like what your taste is, I want to play Desert Island. I got this off The Office. They were all standing around outside and they couldn't go in the office for a while. So they started playing Desert Island, which was, I think they had three things. I'm just going to give you three movies. So you're stranded on a desert island and you can only take three movies with you. What three movies would you take to watch for eternity?
It's a great question.
Or as long as you're stranded. I don't know how long you're there. I don't make the rules.
Right off the top, I'm thinking of something that's like fun and long because, you know, you're watching this movie for the rest of your life. You got to really make the most out of it. I'm going to go for Avengers Infinity War.
Great choice. Well, we're off to a great start.
I love it. It's got that great cliffhanger at the end, some awesome fights, some great emotional moments. Wonderful, wonderful pick. All right. Wonderful
film. It's a great pick. Yeah.
I didn't mean to just like pat myself on the back for my own. Awesome.
Oh, I wish I could give out gold stars. You're like, you know what? Your reward is we're going to keep going with the podcast today. You've earned, 10 more minutes of talk time.
How fun would that be? A podcast where if the guest says something bad, you just wrap it up. And you're just like, this episode's five minutes.
Short week this week because, he said Pagemaster as his Desert Island pick. Bye, Jarrett.
Good night, everybody. And I want to do something artsy, but my next... My inclination is sort of like taking me towards the Lord of the Rings films next, but it does sort of scratch the same itch as Avengers. So, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, one of my favorite films. I've seen it like 100 times. Very, very nuanced, long, lots of great action stuff in there. I have an opinion. I believe that movie is a big metaphor. And so, there's a lot of depth to it that if it's not there, I'm putting into it. So I think that would be a nice variety from Avengers. Okay.
I like how you're doing this. While you're thinking of your third, I'll give you my one and two just to give you some time to think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like your Infinity War. I would go Endgame as I would actually take it. And it's because that movie has like helped me through some dark times before. I watched it in the theater right after I got eliminated from Bring the Funny. And it like brought me back from a really dark place. And
in
quarantine, my wife was like, "Do you want to do the Avenger marathon again?" I'm like, "Yes!" And we got to Endgame, it pulled me out of a depression. So Endgame, and then Sound of Music. I think I would take Endgame, Sound of Music, I need something
it's
happy.
Good.
I need a. I was thinking I needed something with boobs in it, and then I'm like, maybe not. Maybe I just need a female that I could, that I have a crush on, and Julie Andrews has always been my crush. So, and I'd rather not see her boobs because
she's
a nun.
It's a really good pick. I'm so nervous about this one because it's my last one. I'm going to say Top Hat with Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers.
Ooh, what a great pick.
Here's the thing. I want to go variety, right? I've already got slightly artsy action movie, slightly sad action movie. So we got to do something that's not action at all. Maybe something from a completely different generation. Something that's a musical. The Sound of the Music reminded me of that. And that was the first movie that I saw. I was a big Fred and Ginger fan growing up. And that was the one that sort of like got me into it. And so even if I got tired of watching that, I would still have the nostalgia factor of this was my gateway drug into old-timey movie musicals.
Wonderful. Those are three excellent picks. Yes.
Thank
yes.
You. Thank
you. You get to stay. I'm still debating nice. My third movie, whether it's Royal Tenenbaums or It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh God, Wes Anderson now that really threw a wrench.
Probably Royal Tenenbaums. It's a Wonderful Life is one of those I could probably just remember all of it in my head, but Royal Tenenbaums would also give me a soundtrack to
God
listen
damn.
To.
I'm, now I'm just movie. Trying to like think of movies that I Oh, by the way, I have a story I really want to tell you about Endgame. Knowing that you have a strong emotional attachment to it.
I'm so upset that I can't wear my Captain America t-shirt right now because it's in the dryer. And I was asking my wife, I was like, because we're talking about movies, I was like, is my t-shirt ready? And she goes, it's in the washer. I was like, damn, and I got it in the dryer. And so I'm upset that this podcast is ruined before it started because I can't have my Captain America
t-shirt
on. We can
fix it in post. You got like a nice little black thing under there. We can green screen that later.
It's just a slightly moving throughout the whole.
Yeah, just a little bit. So my fiance is a bigger Marvel fan than I am. reads comic books. I don't know how much she does now because her job is in publishing, so she's reading a lot, but she used to read a lot more comic books. She knew a lot more about the Marvel Universe than I did. I was more of a DC guy, but even then, like, my comic book knowledge was pretty amateurish, and she was a little bit more invested. So we had been together for a very long time at this point. We knew that we were going to go see Endgame, like, right when it came out. And she has a job. I do not. I'm a comic. So it was my job to make sure that we got tickets. But because it was such a huge, thing, like, the website kept on crashing. And so I was out running errands, and I kept on, like, loading. It's just like, you're waiting. Finally, I was able to get through, and I had a couple options. And so I started texting her. I was like, all right, what do you want to do? We got these options. We decided, we were like, well, let's be responsible because, you know, the opening night options that we had were not great. There were some things available on Thursday, but they weren't great. But then we had an awesome Friday night, 8 p.m. at our favorite movie theater right by our apartment with the big chairs and everything.
Yeah.
Perfect seats, you know. And so I got those right away, and I was like, are you cool with not seeing this on Thursday night? We'll see it on Friday night instead. And she was like, absolutely, it's our favorite theater, great seats, you know, blah, blah, blah. The day of, my fiance lost her mind. And she was like, we have to see this tonight. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's Thursday. The tickets are gone. I don't know what you think we're going to do. And she was like, we can go see a 4 a.m. screening, the very front row, all the way over to the side. And I was like, here's the thing. As a movie person, I have done that. I've seen movies in that awful place before, and you get used to it after a couple of minutes. So I was like, you know what, baby? I'm with you. I'm excited too. Let's have an adventure. We'll go see a 4 o'clock in the morning screening of a 3.5 hour long movie in the worst possible seats.
We'll finish. We'll have breakfast. Start the day.
we get all bundled up. We leave the house. You know, we're on the subway. It's completely psychotic. We're leaving the house at 3 o'clock in the morning. We get there, we sit down, and I start preparing. I'm looking at the screen that has the pre-showing advertisements on it.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at it. I'm getting prepared. I'm like, all right, I just want to get adjusted to this as quickly as possible because it looks like garbage, but I want to enjoy this movie. And she starts having second thoughts. And she's like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can watch the movie like this. And so I'm like, all right, well, what do we do? Do you want to return these tickets? Do you want to go home? We've got Friday as well. And this is where the serendipity happened. This is where the magic happened. She goes out to the concession area to find out about returning the tickets. And there's a guy there who's like, you know, we just opened up a new screening, right? There's a completely empty screening that starts in 25 minutes and every seat is available. And so we're like, oh, can we just trade our tickets for that one? And he's like, yeah, sure, no problem. And so we got great seats. It was still 3:30 in the morning, which was still insane.
Who cares? That movie was I watched it, like, I think front row, far left.
Oh, yeah?
Because we didn't know we were going to go see it that day, and I got tickets, like, last minute, and it was,
So we were able to, and then we got to see the one the next day, too. We got to see it, like, less than 24 hours apart.
Wow. Yeah. I love her, by the way. We've never met, but I love her for every single bit of this. That we should. It's fine. No, we have to. I can't do it this way. Every bit of that. Yeah, that's my kind of girl. I like her.
That's her. I have so many fun stories about her just being a psychopath.
When you guys first started dating, what were the movies that you wanted to show her to, like, get to know you? Because I feel like everybody in a couple, when you meet somebody, you're like, oh, okay. If you want to know me, you got to know this movie. Like, my wife, it was like The Wedding Singer. I'm like, oh, I love that movie. We watched it together. Mm-hmm. And so I tried to show her parts. I showed her Star Wars, which she fell asleep through each one. But like a champ, I just kept the next night rewinding it back to where we left off and be like, okay, here's what's happened so far. And she's like, I don't care. I'm like, cool. So he's frozen in carbonite. She's like, what's that? Anyway, but we made it. She got me Star Wars sheets and she never has to watch it again.
I mean, well, luckily, my fiance and I, our tastes line up pretty well. We met on Tinder, and it was right around Valentine's Day in 2016. On her profile, it said, Valentine's Day is coming up. Who wants to go see Deadpool? And so my first message to her was something to the effect of, oh, Deadpool on Valentine's Day? That's an automatic swipe right. And then we had, like, fun chatty chat, but then we ended up not doing that for our first date. We had other first dates. And then that was the first movie that I did ask her to. A couple of weeks later, I took her to a double feature where we saw one movie and then snuck into a second one, which is also something I've done many times, which is also a reason why I feel qualified to call myself an expert.
Because you sneak into multiple movies, yeah.
Yeah. And so we saw Deadpool, and there was a Michael Moore documentary at the time about what other countries are doing better than America and who should we invade next, I think it was called. And that felt like a good beginner movie date for her, where I can be like, here are things that I like. This Deadpool movie, and I'm also very aggressive about progressive politics. So
I think that's a perfect introduction to you. Yeah, here's two movies. If you sit through them with me, then you know we share these comments. So, you know,
And she was on board.
Girl,
she was like,
yeah, would have been. Yeah, I'll stay for Deadpool.
A lot of documentary.
Yeah,
yeah, we've done a lot of double features together. So that's something that I did not expect in a partner, but that I'm very glad that she shares that we can go see multiple movies in one day. But I would like to say, even though our tastes like merge so often, there are these very interesting diversions where I'm like, I like this movie, and she's like, I hate this movie, or even I'm like meh on this movie.
It's got to keep things spicy. Molly likes the Marvel movies until they're too spacey. If they're too outer spacey, she's like, it's weird to me if they're not on Earth. I'm like, but it's like, and so yeah, we have trouble when we get to the Doctor Stranges and Guardians of the Galaxy. She's like, hard pass.
That's so funny.
Has to be on Earth.
Isn't it so strange the way that a genre can just divert you a little bit? Like people are like, I can't watch fantasy, or I can't watch space movies. You know, I know Pete Holmes has that joke where he's like, if there's a movie where someone's like, in this realm, I'm done. You know, I don't like movies with realms in them. And I'm like, but I love realm movies.
I love anything exploding in space. I'm on board. If it explodes in space, I'm there. If it's like same, if there's a fairy or a nymph, I'm like, eh, bullshit. You know?
Oh, so really?
It's like Lord of the Rings was hard for me because I'm like, I'm a sci-fi person. This should be me. And it's like, I think it's too fantasy for me because they're just like too frolicky. Or like, I don't know. I'm real specific.
It shouldn't be that pretty, maybe.
Right. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
I forget why it happened, but I was trying to make a joke to my fiance to put us in the world of Lord of the Rings. I forget why, but all I was doing was trying to do like a soft Enya singing. So she was like talking, she was talking about something, and I started going, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, it's like Enya, you know? Never mind. It's not a good joke.
No, I feel like we're in Lord of the Rings. Yeah.
Yeah, God. Because I'm so on board with all that stuff, with fantasy, with sci-fi.
I see that. I watched all of them repeatedly. So it's like, it's not that I'm like, I'm just not as on board as like the things that I'm like, yes. Like, I love it. I'm in it. I'll buy the t-shirt. Yeah. So it's like, I've seen it. I've been there. There's like an episode on Parks and Rec where the Amy Poehler character was talking to the Rashida Jones, and she was like, I don't like, what was it? She was like, I don't like Harry Potter. She's like, what? You watched all the movies. She's like, you made me watch all the, and that's how my wife was like, oh my God, that's me. I'm like, you love Harry Potter. She's like, no, I've just seen them all because you keep making me watch them. I'm like, oh, okay. But you've seen them all. She's like, yeah.
Now, do you like the Harry Potter movies?
I was a books fan. I've read all the books more times than I'd like to admit on this show. And so the movies were just like a means to an end, but I own all of them. And when I'm on a cruise ship and I'm lonely, it's my go-to, like put it on in the background. Cool. Back at Hogwarts. I got my friends. I got that music. So yes, I'm a,
I don't know if it's that thing where when you read the book, you're always disappointed by the movies, but I just always felt like they were very poorly made movies.
Yes.
And so I was like, in my brain, trying to separate myself, like, am I doing that thing where I just don't like this because of the book? And I was also like, I don't know. I think I'm pretty good at seeing when a movie's bad. you know,
it was, they were really the watered down. They were really watered down, but it's like the things that kept me in were Maggie Smith as Professor McGonagall.
She's so great.
She was grounding to me. She grounded me in the soundtrack. Like, the soundtrack to me is as much the books as the books are. Because I think they did such a good job. Without that soundtrack, I would have been like, this is bubblegum. This is bubblegum nonsense movie. And it is bubblegum nonsense movie. But, you know, the stories are just really diluted. But I like the music. And
I didn't even finish. There was one that I thought was, I was like, I can't keep buying tickets to this. I'm like, this is like Stockholm Syndrome. All right, just like I keep on coming back for more and more abuse.
I was going to say, I didn't watch them when they came out. This was I got into the books way later in life because my friend bought me an audiobook of the first
with
Jim book.
Dale. That's what I was going to ask you about.
And I was on a road trip doing stand-up gigs, you know, and I got a long car ride and I'm like kind of out of my music. So I popped the tape, I almost ran out of gas because I forgot to stop, you know. Because I was just like so engrossed in it because he really pulled you into that story,
he's,
you know?
He's so great. He's so amazing. Yeah. And I love how he had a little moment because of how great he was in those audiobooks where he started doing more voiceover for television. But I exact same thing. I had friends who were obsessed with the books on tape, the Jim Dale books on tape. I borrowed one. I recorded a bootleg copy of it because I was cheap and I didn't want to pay for it myself. And then once I listened to that, I was like, all right, sweet. And so now I'm in. Listen to the books on tape until I think four. Four was Goblet of Fire, right?
Yes.
Okay. I took it out of the library, book on tape, listening to the book on tape, Goblet of Fire. Spoiler alert. I get to the part where Cedric Diggory dies.
Yeah.
Harry Potter zooms back over to Hogwarts. He's still got Cedric Diggory's body in his hand. Dumbledore standing over him like, you gotta let go, Harry, you gotta let go. And then you hear the voice go, you know, change to tape 10. And I'm like, ah! so I run to my little thing. I take book, I get tape 10 and it's snipped. The tape is destroyed. It's no connective tissue between the reels.
No!
And I was like, ah! And so I went to Barnes & Noble and I read it. At Barnes & Noble, I just sat down and I was like, I'm finding out what happens.
It's time for
5 Quick Questions.
I believe that you're a self-proclaimed movie expert, but I'm going to test your knowledge with 5
Ooh.
Quick questions.
All right,
put together
let's
do a little
it.
Quiz. And this quiz is called Finish the Movie Quote. I'm going to read you the wrong ending to the movie
Ooh,
quotes. And you
okay.
have to give me the right endings. Question 1. Can you finish this movie quote? This is the wrong movie quote from The Wizard of Oz. Toto, I've got a feeling they don't like women here.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this. That was the wrong movie quote. Can you give me the right ending to Toto, I've got a feeling? Because it's
not.
It's
the wrong movie quote, but there is a truth to the subtext.
Oz was a little patriarchal.
Is this a vibe I'm picking up? I've been here 3 seconds, but I'm getting a vibe that they hate women here.
Toto, I've got a feeling they don't like women too much. Shut up, lady.
Good. Toto, you can talk now. I believe the correct quote is Toto. I don't think. Ooh, this is a tough one.
I've got a feeling
we're not in Kansas anymore.
That is a correct quote. This quote is from the movie Top Gun.
Ooh.
I feel the need to smoke some weed. That is the incorrect quote. Can
right.
you give me
right.
the correct quote?
The correct quote is, I feel the need for speed. And then they do that really dope high five, back around high five. Never been done before. Cinema history made. Audiences in the 80s, minds blown. How do they do that? What is that? That's a high five? A secret high five? Sign me up, man.
It's having a best friend that's awesome. I've never had a best friend that's that badass, that we could do that. And so that's all I want in life, is I just want my partner in life, my best friend, you know, to be able to do that. Number 3.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the correct movie quote. If this isn't correct, we'll see.
Okay.
From the movie Love Story. Love means never having to do the dishes.
You know what? I have not seen Love Story, but I do know the correct ending of this quote. Love means never having to say you're sorry.
I told it to my wife while we were working on this quiz, and I was like, okay, the real quote is love means never having to say you're sorry. And she goes, well, that's bullshit. And I was like, okay, yes. And I said, what would be a better? And she goes, do the dishes. I was like, that's what I have. Okay, so we both agree we hate the dishes, and I'm going to have to say I'm sorry a lot.
Mm-hmm. I would offer as a rewrite, love means getting to say the N-word.
All right, that's it. Nope. Podcast is ended. That's it. That's You've not... lost all your time. No more time on this podcast.
That's the incorrect version. What's the correct version, Jared?
What are you, Mel Gibson? Like, what the hell?
He did a rewrite on that. I mean, he was a script doctor back in the day. And they were we're going to change this one.
Sorry, Mel. Yeah, I don't think we're going to... That's I think, Tarantino's version of it, because he loves using the N-word.
Oh, my God. That's another one. We're rewatching Pulp Fiction, and you're just like, you don't need to say the N-word here, Quentin Tarantino.
No. And unnecessary. I mean, many movies. He puts it in a lot. And it's like, uncomfortably like, you could have done that scene without it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay. Number four. Question four. Can you finish this quote correctly from the movie Mean Girls? That's why her hair is so big. It's full of sequins.
Ooh, okay. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this one. I love Mean Girls. It's full of secrets, right?
That is correct. Yes. That is correct.
Okay, you kind of threw that one up to me on a platter.
I thought I'd throw you off the scent there.
Because it's so close.
Last number five, you were 4 for 4. You were just blowing through this. Now I'm thinking I should have written tougher questions. From the movie Notting Hill, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy asking him to put the seat down.
I also would have accepted asking him to stop saying the N-word.
Oh my God, I'd love to watch Julia Roberts deliver that line.
What a great, okay, we need a rom-com where everything is perfect about this guy, but he just won't stop saying the N-word. And then the very end is just, I'm just a girl asking a guy if he'll stop saying the N-word for love. Will you stop?
His name's like Dallas or something.
I believe the exact quote goes, I'm just a girl standing in front of a guy asking him to love her. Is that right?
Asking him to love me. Yeah.
Love me. Yes. Got it.
All right. I'm going to give it to you. You are 5 for 5. Woo-hoo! You truly are an expert at movies. You've talked to me. You've played my 5 quick questions. This is my favorite part on every episode. And that's where I ask you if you will stick around to do a rad lib with me.
Oh, hell yeah. Absolutely.
And now it's time for rad libs. Yeah. Have you ever done a mad lib before?
Oh, yeah. Many times. When I was a kid, we used to put in hump for every word and we thought it was hysterical.
You're going to be great at this, I can tell. Okay.
All right.
Okay, here's what happened. I wrote a story. I left out some parts of speech. If you give me those parts of speech, together we're going to make a hilarious story. Are you ready to play today's Rad Libs?
Yes, absolutely. With a Kristen Key who's from Brooklyn for some reason. Yes, absolutely.
I don't know why that happened. I got really excited and now I'm East Coast. I need an exclamation.
Yowza.
Excellent. We're off to a great start. A feeling.
Jealous.
I need a food.
Burrito.
Yes. God, I love a good burrito. I love a bad burrito. I just love burritos. Verb ending in ing.
Surfing.
Adjective.
Sprightly.
A genre.
Erotic fiction.
Yes! I mean, I've heard of it. A famous
so cool.
American.
So coy.
Erotic fiction. What's that? Blush.
Cecil B. DeMille. He was a film director. Cecil B. DeMille. Film director.
Excellent.
Early
Excellent.
Silver screen legend, Cecil B. DeMille. I could be remembering this incorrectly, but I think he's the director who used to do the giant numbers that had, like, the shot from the down, the bird's eye view shots of, like, all the chorus girls' legs in sync.
Oh!
You know?
I like those shots.
I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that was him, Cecil B. DeMille.
If not, that's how I'll always associate him. If anybody ever says Cecil B. DeMille, I'm like, the guy with the legs. I'm here. I'm picking up what you're putting down. An adjective.
Curvy.
Beacon of legs. An occupation.
Janitor.
Celebrity.
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
An adverb.
Quickly.
Plural noun.
Melons.
An occupation.
Blogger.
A verb.
crash?
A family member?
Niece.
A body part?
I'm gonna go clavicle.
Something you yell.
You can't park there!
Something you're afraid of.
Oh, I want to say something funny like intimacy, but...
Anything will work here.
I'll go intimacy. I'll go with my first instinct there.
And a movie quote.
He told me he fixed it!
Jared, we have a story.
Brad, live!
Fantastic story. Jarrett's acceptance speech.
Oh, hell yeah. I love this.
This is your acceptance speech, so I guess you won a major award. Yowza! I can't believe I won. This is such an honor. I am filled with jealousy and burritos. I never thought that I would be surfing here, accepting an award for best sprightly actor in an erotic fiction role.
Mwah! That is some good rad lips.
Taking on the role of Cecil B. DeMille as a curvy janitor was challenging. But it was a story that needed to be told. There are so many people I would like to thank. First, I would like to thank my Lord and Savior, Tiffany Amber Thiessen, who makes all things possible. I would like to thank my agent for quickly guiding my career and always reminding me to reach for the melons. I'd like to thank my blogger for teaching me how to crash. And of course, my niece for teaching me to think with my clavicle and never take, "You can't park there," for an answer. And finally, I'd like to dedicate this award to all the victims of intimacy. To them I say, "He told me he fixed it." Thank you.
Always reach for the melons. Always reach for the melons.
Well done. Well, tell our viewers and listeners what you have coming up and where they can find you.
All right. So you can check out all my stuff at jarrettbernstein.com. That's where I have links to all my calendars, all my social, all the stuff you can buy at my store, my Patreon. I've also got an excellent podcast called Is This Anything? Where me and three other comics, Anthony Capfer, Brett Truck, and Rob Ryan, bring new jokes that we're working on and we workshop them and have a ton of fun. You and I are also sharing an hour of comedy at nowheretime.com. B&K, the half birthday show on March 22nd at 9 p.m. Eastern. And I believe that is all my business. So go to jarrettbernstein.com, and that is where you can find all that info.
Yes, find, follow, friend Jarrett, you won't be disappointed. That podcast is one of my favorite on the internet.
Interview complete. Leaving Jared on the cutting room floor.
Computer lady strikes again. Well, thanks, Jared Berenstein, for being on the show again. Thank you guys for listening. What a fun day. So take a second, like and subscribe to this podcast. Follow it. Do everything you can to make this podcast feel welcome. I'm Kristen Key. Find me at kristenkey.com. Follow me on all my social media. And each week, I'll be bringing a new comedian to talk about a strange topic. We'll discuss. We'll do 5 quick questions. We'll play a rad lib, and then we'll all go home happy. Until next time, bye.
We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna talk to some people, gonna learn a lot of stuff. 'Cause Kristen knows.